This reading is from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 to 28. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God.
The New Testament reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. It's a joy to be sharing with you God's word this morning. And I am recording this talk from St. Mark's Church in Westfield. And this week, I'm going to be continuing with our sermon series on the new normal, using the biblical story of God returning the Israelites from exile in Babylon and other nations to their land. And this week, I want to share on not only what actions God promised to do to restore Israel to its land, but also the motivation behind why God is going to act or why God acts. And as we begin, I want to encourage you to have your Bible with you and open it to Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to be reading from verse 22 to 32, from which the bulk of this talk is taken from. And as you do so, the question I want you to have at the back of your mind as we go through is, why does God do what he does? What's the motivation for his plans, for his purposes and actions? For many of us, I have a feeling the first thing that comes to mind is love. That God does what he does primarily out of love. And although partly true, emphasized by texts like the famous John 3:16, for God so loved the world, I believe it's not the primary motivation for God's action. In our Bible reading in Ezekiel and throughout scripture, we see a different reason why God did what he did for Israel and what God continues to do for us, and that is for the sake of his holy name. Now, I grew up in a country and a culture where a name meant almost everything. A name had a meaning and a story behind it. Names told people which tribe you belong to, which languages you speak, which part of the country you come from, which lineage you come from as well. And in my small community growing up, it told people which family you belong to, which is why discipline was almost held above everything else, including religion and education. Now, because as a child, I knew, every child knew right from the beginning, if you misbehaved, especially away from home, it did not only bring shame to you, but it brought shame to your family as well. And not just that, your family's name, not that that stopped us from misbehaving. And one of the questions that would be asked when you've been caught misbehaving was, whose child is this? And your family would most certainly be identified from the name. Now, if a name can be this important to us as human beings, how important is it then to God? In the first talk in the series, we found out that the Israelites disobeyed God and brought dishonor to his name, and hence the reason for exile. But even in exile, they did not necessarily glorify God. We are told that they continued to profane his name. And so, as a result, the pagan nations where these Israelites had been exiled began to view the God of the Israelites as being no different from any other of their small gods. Even worse still, to these pagan nations, it appeared that their gods, their small gods, were now even more powerful than the Lord. Since in their eyes, the Lord was not able to protect his people from the enemy, and so they were defeated. That the Lord was not able to protect the land that he had previously given them. And so in Ezekiel 36, we find God promising to correct this thinking, promising to act, not because he loves his people, which he does, he certainly does, but because he wants to vindicate the holiness of his great name. God wanted to demonstrate that he was and is the one true and living God. In fact, if you read further on down in verse 38, it says, "Then they will know that I am the Lord." God wasn't promising to restore Israel to its former glory and even greater because of their righteousness or because of anything good they had done. God doesn't do all he does for us because of our righteousness or because of how perfect or how good we are, some of us might think. God, in his grace, gives us what we do not deserve for his name's sake. And God wants his name to be great so that the nations may regard him not as an ineffective tribal God, but as the Lord of the whole earth. And so God was going to vindicate his name, not through Israel's suffering, but through its restoration. Israel was going to be the channel through which this vindication is going to be achieved. And so in the series of prophetic statements in Ezekiel describes what God will do. In verses 24 through to 30, in Ezekiel 36, God spells out his actions to vindicate his holiness. Not God says over and over again, or he says, "I will, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God." See, above all, the covenant relationship between Israel and God will be renewed. And once again, God says, you will be my people and I will be your God. These actions of God were not exactly intended to benefit his people, which they did, but they ultimately were to set forth his glory in the world. In Ezekiel and all over scripture, we see that God acts for the sake of his holy name, especially among the nations. Preparing this talk, I was reminded that all of life, all that God has given me, my family, my calling, my friends, my everything, is not just for my benefit, as much as I might enjoy it, which I do, but ultimately it is for his glory, for the lifting up of his name. When we fully understand this, it even changes the way we pray. In our second reading in Luke chapter 11 from verse 1 to verse 4, the disciples approach Jesus asking how to pray. And he says to them, when you pray, he begins with, Father, hallowed be your name. And when you understand the ultimate purpose of God, you also begin to pray exactly how Jesus taught us to pray. This is what should drive all of our praying. We pray, God, for the sake of your name, I pray for the healing of so and so. God, for the sake of your name, we ask that you bless our mission partners. This is what drives our motivations, because it's what drives the motivation of God. As I conclude, as the Israelites returned from exile into the promised land, they had a responsibility to represent God. As we move into this new normal, as Christ followers, as his disciples, we have a responsibility to represent God properly in our actions, in our words, in our homes, in our schools, in our social circles, in our community, and even in church. Let us seek to be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. The power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to bring glory to his name in this new season we find ourselves in. There's a constant refrain in Ezekiel that says God is on the move. And indeed, in this new season, he is on the move and wanting to make this his name known and be glorified in all the nations, in all the tribes, in all the peoples, the Bible says. God wants to use us for his glory, for his name's sake. Now, the question I want to end with is, I leave us with the question, how do we represent God to the world? It's a food for thought. How can I represent God to the world? I leave us with that question.